Hello, this is Dave Sandoval, and I apologize. I came on at 10 and stayed on until 10:05 and didn't have anyone respond to my inquiries whether anyone was out there.
Oh, there are some people here, Dave.
Okay, great.
I'm here, Dave.
Awesome. Well, actually, we are missing Shadonna today. She had a doctor's appointment, nothing serious, just a regular checkup. So what I wanted to do is I did have five or six questions that had come in, and I wanted to go ahead and talk about that. First question came in is they heard that there's been a lot of controversy in the news lately about sea products that may be contaminated with lead, particularly Seek Help and things like that. And they were wondering whether our red marine algae or other products that we contain are affected. So we went ahead and we sent all of our products out, and we have gotten them back, and they're absolutely within very, very safe levels. In fact, our levels meet the same standards that fish meet, and you're eating a lot more fish than you do of our products. So you might eat an 8 or 10 or even 12-ounce piece of fish with an allowable lead limit, and obviously the 0.5 parts per million in fish, if you're eating 12 ounces, is much different than, let's say, the 0.5 parts per million from let's say, a gram or two that you're consuming. So a lot of people are confused about kelp versus seaweed versus algae. And so the bottom line is that the the difference between kelp and seaweed is actually algaes and seaweeds are basically different because certain things root themselves in the ground and others float freely in the water. And your chlorella, your spirulina, they do not have a root system, whereas your sea kelp and your sea dulse do. And that is a primary difference. Your sea kelp is going to have higher amounts of iodine, which is good for your obviously good for your thyroid, whereas your sea dulse is not going to have nearly as much of the iodine. Now, algaes and like spirulina and chlorella, they're going to have a much higher protein content, 58% to 65% protein, whereas the other is primarily carbohydrate content. So there definitely are differences in algaes. Spirulina, for example, grows in a spiral form. That's why they call it spirulina. It is a multi-cell algae that the cells come together and they grow and they form a spiral. The outer wall of the spirulina is, in fact, what is called glycogen. And glycogen dissolves once it hits the digestive juices of your stomach. And all of the nutrients are then exposed directly into your digestive system. The chlorella, by contrast, is a single-cell organism. And it has a hard fibrous cell wall. And that hard fibrous cell wall cannot be digested by the human body. So chlorella and spirulina are very, very different in their form, but in their nutrient content, they're fairly similar. Now, I just want to put that in perspective that chlorella must be cracked and the cell wall must be broken, like breaking open an egg. And by breaking open that, if you would, of chlorella, then you reveal all the contents inside that are edible and are very good for you. And so chlorella is a single-cell organism. It is a hard shell wall that must be shattered, and chlorella is the highest natural source of chlorophyll, and chlorophyll is an excellent detoxifier of the body. Chlorella also, because of its hard shell wall, that hard shell wall of chlorella is great at capturing dioxins, toxins, and heavy metals and guiding them out of the body. And so the fibers in chlorella bind with these toxic compounds and actually help your body to eliminate them in an excellent detoxification form. Spirulina does not offer that as one of its benefits. Spirulina, however, creates a blue pigment called phycocyan. Phyco meaning a sea plant and cyan meaning blue. So phycocyan is sea plant blue. It is a pigment like the blue in blueberries. It is a powerful anti-inflammatory and immune-boosting compound. So phycocyan is not in chlorella. It is only in spirulina and is responsible in clinical studies for increasing the rate of gamma interferon and interleukin production by the body. And these are two chemicals the body produces to fight cancer. The gamma interferon and interleukin have been dramatically increased in the people who are taking spirulina, which is really, really, incredible. And in contrast to chlorella, which also boosts the immune system, but does so in other ways. So these algaes are quite different and have different purposes within your body and within your diet. So I just wanted to bring that into people's, consciousness. The next thing is woman called and asked about prenatal vitamins. The problem I have with prenatal vitamins is their content of iron. Most iron in prenatal vitamins is ground mineral that could be overdosed in supplements. Overdosing in iron actually damages the immune system. It increases the infection rate. It increases free radical damage. Ferrous iron is not absorbed that well. And so we really believe that, taking or having excess iron is definitely bad for you. Now, how do you know if you're deficient in iron? Well, you will have a reduced production of hydrochloric acid, and that's not very good. Irritable bowel syndrome, diarrhea, heavy menstruation, parasites, and there's definitely copper deficiencies and excessive levels of magnesium and zinc. Are these things. So we definitely can see that the reason why people get iron deficiencies are, again, if you have a reduced hydrochloric acid, then you tend to get iron deficiency. Irritable bowel syndrome reduces your iron. Diarrhea reduces your iron. Heavy menstruation reduces your iron. Getting pregnant back-to-back-to-back reduces your iron. Parasites reduce iron, strenuous athletic activity, all of these actually reduce your iron. But the best way to get iron back in your body is by drinking alfalfa juice, aloe vera juice, eating beets, blackstrap molasses, broccoli, cayenne, celery seed, parsley, raspberry leaves, spirulina. Actually, spirulina is considered the highest source of edible, vegetative, non-toxic iron. Watercress is very high in iron, as is wheat germ and yellow dock. The yellow dock is like red dock. It's one of the it's a ginseng-like root. So we definitely need to look and see, if you're taking that prenatal vitamin, what else could you be doing? And what I strongly suggest is you take spirulina, and you take rice bran solubles, and you take Komoot, and you take RC from nature, and that's going to is definitely going to reduce the anemia and increase the iron in your body. Now, hydrochloric acid is really, really important. In fact, hydrochloric acid is your stomach acid. The older we get, the more likely it is that we reduce the amount of stomach acid that our body produces. The less hydrochloric acid we produce, the slower and less complete our digestive process is, and a lot of health problems result. Antacids actually are the worst thing you could do. What you might want to do is actually find a hydrochloric acid supplement. A mineral deficiency from insufficient digestion could lead to a breakdown of the immune system and poor health. In fact, it could lead to cancer, arthritis, pernicious anemia, asthma, diabetes, lupus, thyroid disease, and allergies are all, tied to a reduced ability of the body to produce hydrochloric acid. It might also be interesting to note that hydrochloric acid is produced by cancer cells, and some theorize that the body's inability to produce hydrochloric acid is somehow triggering the production of cancer cells, which then produce hydrochloric acid. So I think it's important that we do our very best to increase the production of hydrochloric acid by our body if we are low. Amino acids like the master amino acids, apple cider vinegar, are both excellent hydrochloric acid producers. Also, Swedish bitters are very good, as is vitamin C. So definitely, if you have hydrochloric acid deficiencies, it's something you need to look into, because it really can be significant and very significant to the body as it relates to your future health issues. Another question that came in is, what could one do for alcohol withdrawal? Well, when you quit drinking, you need a lot of rest and a lot of recuperative nutrients. And that's why we recommend our addiction battle plan. So for alcohol withdrawal, it's very important to get our addiction battle plan, and that's really going to help a lot. Someone talked to me about allergies. Right now, with the seasons changing, I strongly recommend that you use our, obviously, our probiotic and our enzyme. The probiotics and the enzymes are phenomenal at helping your body to overcome these difficulties that are caused by, the overproduction of hydrochloric acid. So, excuse me, over accumulation and the ultimate reaction by the body to these invading bodies. Again, your human body is going to create antibodies. Those antibodies are going to try to push compounds out of your blood that do not belong there. And an allergic reaction is nothing more than your body pushing something it doesn't desire out. Many people don't realize that, you know, even throwing up is an allergic reaction of sorts. Your body's trying to expel or detoxify itself. So allergies oftentimes are going to be caused by either environmental things, that is something growing in the ground that has a pollen, or it's going to be from the food that you eat. Either way, your body will produce histamines to try to attack and to eliminate that. So the enzyme and the probiotic, along with green drinks, have been dramatically effective within days of reducing a lifetime full of full of these problems. So allergic reactions and seasonally induced asthma and things like that. Now, someone is asking, what do they do for acid reflux? This is easy. Acid reflux is the exact same recommendation for allergies. 3 to 4 green drinks a day, enzymes and probiotics, and that problem is going to be gone. I mean, literally gone. And I'm very, very confident in that. Now, Shadana usually gathers all of the questions, and I had just had these five, which were in my inbox. I know that we will have a far more in-depth talk about these questions and answers next week. I do have one more question. It was the last one in my mailbag. Someone called and asked about athlete's foot. And so I have to say that, you know, obviously when you go to the gym, you got to be careful. There's bacteria around. So wash your feet really thoroughly. Then dry your feet very thoroughly. Let your feet air out until they are completely dry. Wash your socks in hot water. Change your socks often. You could soak your feet in a saline solution. That's sea salt. And hot water and a saline solution. You could then rub coconut oil on your feet as well. And you can, believe it or not, you could take garlic and create a garlic poultice and rub it all over your feet and put it inside of your socks and sleep with it. You're not going to make many friends this way. But it definitely does help, and it definitely does work for many, many people. And, you know, the last question, I guess there was one more. It's about bee stings. I'm allergic to bees. And so I've given my child this terrible fear of bees. So now my daughter, you know, is concerned about bee stings. So I don't blame you. Bee stings definitely are not pleasant. But if you are not allergic to bees, it's no big deal. If you get a bee sting, you don't really need to seek any type of medical treatment unless you have an allergy. You could remove the stinger. If you do remove the stinger, make sure you don't squeeze the venom sac. The venom sac is attached to the stinger, and if you squeeze, like if you grab the stinger with your fingers, you're probably going to squeeze the venom sac and actually push the poison in. If you get tweezers and lift from the bottom, that won't happen. If you apply an ice compress to the area, it helps. Oftentimes, a meat tenderizer applied with a little bit of water will relieve the pain. Calamine lotion helps as well. Obviously, aloe vera is one of the most important things, I think, to apply directly to the affected area. I appreciate everybody's being patient and staying online. I did stay on the phone till 10:05, asking, was anybody there? Is anybody there? And when nobody was there, I assumed that it wouldn't be a problem for me to go away. And then I got some calls from folks saying that, in fact, you were listening. Shadonna will be back next week, where we will have a full mailbag. I'm sure we'll run the full hour of questions and answers. I hope that today's information was interesting to you and helpful. And, of course, we'll be back in our full program next week when Shadonna has returned. And I want to thank everybody for taking the time to be with us today. Remember to get your questions in. You can call 888-747-6733. That's 888-747-6733. And this call will be recorded and available on the back office starting tomorrow. This was not our longest or our most informative call. Again, I was ill-prepared with Shadonna missing today. And when I tried to come on early, didn't find that anybody was there. So apologize for that, and I look forward to next week when we will again have a full hour program, dozens and dozens of questions, and the pleasure of having Shadonna back on with us as a moderator. So until next week, God bless you all and appreciate your time today.